To those of you that gave birth to your first child this year, we celebrate with you. To those of you who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those of you that are in the trenches with your little ones every day and you come today wearing the proud stains of food from them, today we appreciate you. To those who experienced loss this year through miscarriage or a failed adoption or your child running away, we mourn with you. To those of you who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes and prods and tears and disappointments, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make it harder for you than it already is. To those of you that are foster moms or mentor moms or spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, today we celebrate with you. To those of you who only have disappointment and heartache and distance, then today we sit with you. To those of you who lost your mama this year, we grieve with you. To those of you who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we today acknowledge that horrible experience. To those of you who have lived through driving tests and medical tests and the overall general testing of motherhood, we are better today because you are among us. To those of you who suffer the silent burden of having aborted children, we remember them today, and we mourn with you too. To those of you that are single, and you spend your days longing to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn with you that life hadn't turned out the way you wanted it to be. To those of you that are step-parents, we walk with you on some very complex paths. To those of you who envisioned lavishing love on your grandchildren, but that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those of you that will have emptier nests in the coming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those of you who have placed children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness. And we remember how you hold that child in your heart. To those of you that are here today pregnant with new life, those of you who expected that and those of you who got a surprise, we anticipate with you. And today on Mother's Day, we walk with all of you because mothering is not for the faint of heart. And there are some real warriors among us today. We celebrate all of you. Let's pray together and then we'll open the Word. God, we love you and we thank you so much for loving us. We believe that your love for us is great. Sometimes it's easy to forget that. Sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the dark stuff that's around us and forget that you care so very much for us. God, for those that are here today for whom this is a joyous day of celebration, we praise you and we celebrate with them. But God, we ask you also to be with those sitting in this room today for whom today is hard, hard for a lot of different reasons. We just pray that you'll hold them close to you. And may today they too know your tender, comforting care. God, bless us this morning. Bless us as we see more of who you are. We pray for your presence in our lives. We thank you for your presence right here in this room with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I think one of the biggest things that we lost in Eden, when Adam and Eve chose sin and things changed from the garden, when they had to leave and they had to leave the tree of life and they had to leave the relationships that were there with creation and God told them everything is about to change for you. I think the biggest thing they lost was that intimate fellowship with God. I mean, can you imagine what it was like to be sitting in the Garden of Eden in all its perfection and in the cool of the afternoon, the one who made you and all of that, walking through the garden, talking to you, spending time with you, and to think of all the things that we forfeited when we chose sin, I think that's the biggest. To me, that's the hardest thing to know, that I could have had that. And what you see in the work of God, from that moment to the present moment, is God has never stopped working to restore that fellowship. That's the whole story of redemption. We sometimes think that the story of God redeeming man is about saving us from an eternity in hell, and there's no question that's a part of it. I don't want to be there, whatever it is, wherever it is. Whatever kind of torment there might be, the greatest torment to me in being lost would not be flames or fire or darkness or any of those things. It would be the fact that forevermore I am cut off from the presence, from the face of God. We've always wanted to see Him. We want to know where He is. And we want to know what He looks like. It's what Moses asked for. God, show me all Your godness. And God said, you can't handle that, but I'll show you a little bit. And when God showed Moses just a little bit of Himself, Moses glowed. He was lit up, literally. And he would have to take precaution in the following meetings to veil his face, because something about being in the presence of even a little bit of the face of God and the glory of God was so much that the other people couldn't handle Moses when he came back from those meetings. And we'll get to see Him face to face. All of Him with nothing between us, and we lose that if we're not with Him. That's what God has been trying to restore since Eden. That's the whole reason Jesus came. Yes, to be our Savior, to be the Lamb of God, to be the Messiah, to be the Redeemer, to be all those things, but to give us God again. To give us a way to be in God's presence now and for eternity. And so all throughout Scripture, God is working to reveal Himself to man, because we don't see Him anymore. Not the way we used to see Him. And so we need God to tell us who He is. We need God to show us, this is what I'm like. This is the person that I am. This is how I behave. This is how I think. And so your Bible and my Bible is full of God taking the opportunity to reveal Himself to us. And He does it in a lot of ways. We see Him from the beginning of our Bibles revealed as a creator. We see Him as a nurturing sustainer. We see God as a powerful force. We see God as a judge. We see God as a healer. We see God as a shepherd. We see all these images of a mighty, powerful God. But for today, I want you to see a way that God reveals Himself that maybe you haven't noticed before. A way that God shows Himself to us. And it's like a mama. Now, I know that sounds weird to us, because you immediately default to saying, wait a minute, God is our Father, and Jesus teaches us to pray to the Father, and I don't disagree with that at all, but I want you to see that one of the ways God says, Tim, I want you to know who I am, I want you to have a relationship with me, and I want you to understand me, is by showing Himself to His people with the image of a mama. If you want to open your Bibles up to Isaiah chapter 66, that's where we get the text, that's where we get this image this morning, Isaiah chapter 66. I specifically want us to look at verses 10 through the first part of verse 14. We're going to kind of set the stage for what we're going to talk about here this morning. Yes, we're going to talk about a mother's love, but we're going to talk about a mother's love coming from no other source than God Himself. Now, if you're thoroughly confused, that's great. Because it means you're thinking, it means your brain is engaged, it means you're working. We're going to challenge this a little bit this morning, because I want you to leave here today with more appreciation for God than you brought in the room. I want you to leave here today as you think about Mother's Day, whatever it means to you, and I want you to see God in the midst of that. Not just in your mama, but but in the good things about your mama. Now let me insert this thought before we read this text. This happens a lot at Father's Day. We talk about God as a father. And there are people sitting in the room who say, "You don't know my dad. He was nothing like that. My dad was mean and hateful and abusive and hard to live with, and I don't really care much for him. And you want me to think about God as my father?" I want people to be able to see all the shortcomings, all the failures of their earthly fathers. I want them to see that God gets all that right. And so this morning, if you're one of those people who's dealing with some anxiety right now because you are struggling in your relationship with your mama, I want you to see this morning that where your mama may fail, where she may get it wrong, where she may have done it terribly wrong, God gets all that right. And you can see perfection in Him if you can't see it in anybody on the earth. Now, to our text, Isaiah 66. I'm reading this morning from the New Century Version. "Jerusalem, rejoice. All you people who love Jerusalem, be happy. Those of you who felt sad for Jerusalem should feel happy with her now. You will take comfort from her and be satisfied. As a child is nursed by its mother, you will receive her good things and enjoy her wealth. This is what the Lord says. I will give her peace that will flow into her like a river. The wealth of the nations will come to her like a river overflowing its banks." Watch this image. "Like babies, you will be nursed and held in my arms and bounced on my knees. And I will comfort you as a mother comforts her child, so you will be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see these things, you'll be happy and you will grow like the grass." If you've read much in Isaiah, you know that there's not a lot of positives in his message for God's people. In fact, most of the prophets who spoke for God as messengers of God, I wouldn't want their job, because it's not like they got to tell people how wonderful they were and how good things were going and how proud God was of them. They were coming bringing messages of judgment. You've read that in the prophets, haven't you? If you read those prophets and you hear them saying, "God is about to rain destruction on you, and you can repent, and you can turn, and things can get better, but it doesn't look very good for you right now." There's a lot of that in Isaiah, and yet Isaiah drops these images for us of something better, of the Messiah who's coming. We read a lot in Isaiah about Jesus, about His life and His death and what it means to us, hundreds of years before Jesus ever appears. But in the middle of this message of a lot of bad things coming for Jerusalem, a lot of bad things coming for God's people, God Himself speaks into that moment through this spokesman Isaiah, and He says, "Hey, I want you to know what I'm going to do for you. You see, this is bad. It's real bad, and it's going to get worse. But you see that mama? You see that mama holding that new baby? You see how she holds it up close to her? You see how she nurses that baby? How that baby gets everything he needs from that mama. That's me with you. And you see that mama, how she's got that little baby out there on her knees and she's bouncing that baby on her knees. You see that? Yeah, God says, that's me with you. And because you understand a mama's love for her babies, you can understand a little bit of how I feel about you, my people." So what is it about mamas? I mean, daddy's love too, right? I'm a daddy, have two kids of my own. I love them. And I know Dana loves them, but I love them. My daddy loved me. Mama loves me, but I know daddy loved me. What's the difference? Well, I want us to see a couple of things this morning that I think will help us to understand a little bit of what it is to experience this. You see, the first thing I want you to understand this morning is that there is no protection like a mama's protection. None. Is there? Some of you know what I'm talking about because you are that mama. The natural world bears this out for us. Even if we didn't know about human behavior, looking into the natural world, and it's always been that way. Back in 2 Samuel, Absalom is trying to take over the kingdom from his father. He's trying to put his dad off the throne. And in 2 Samuel chapter 17, he's seeking advice from some counselors, from some wise men. Tell me how I should handle my father. And he brings in Hushai. And Hushai comes in and he asks him, how should I move forward? How should I proceed with this? And Hushai says, you better be careful. Because your daddy and his men out there, they are enraged. Now, David really wasn't. We know David wasn't. David was weeping. David was mourning. David's men were. David was hurting because his son wanted him dead. He was running for his life from his own child. David's not real excited about this right now. But Hushai says, if you go messing with them, it's going to be like when a mama bear gets separated from her cubs. 2 Samuel 17, verse 8. You've seen that? Maybe you've seen it on television or even in just depictions in a movie. I hope you've never seen it for real life by being in between a mama bear and her babies. But there is no protection like a mama's protection. Right? Mama will come fight for her babies when sometimes dad will sit back and not always do that. And the biblical record shows that to be the case. You know the story. A law is passed by a brutal dictator. Kill all the little boys. We don't need another generation of boys rising up. Kill them all and throw them in the river. But there's one mama. There's one mama who says, I won't do that. And she makes a basket. And she lines that basket, making it waterproof. And she puts her baby in that basket and floats him out into the river where he's discovered by none other than royalty. And you know, as Moses grows up, raised as royalty, as Pharaoh's grandson, with all the rights and privileges of that, he becomes very conflicted. He later leaves because he has to. God brings him back out of the shepherding desert to go lead his people from Egypt toward the promised land. And that story would never have happened if there hadn't have been a mama in Exodus chapter 2 who said, I'm going to protect my babies. She saved his life. We think she's a great woman. We might hold her up and say she's a fantastic example of motherhood. But not all women in the Bible are like that, are they? Not all women in real life are like that. In fact, you read a story when Solomon is becoming the king in 1 Kings chapter 3, and he prays to God for God to give him wisdom, discernment. God gives him that and a lot more. And pretty quickly he's put to the test because there's these two women, and the Bible describes them as prostitutes. We would not say they're model mothers. And those two prostitutes come to the king. They have a dispute between them, and the king is supposed to settle that. And the lady that comes says, look, I had a baby while I was living with her. We live in the house together. 3 days later, she had a baby too. And she rolled over on her baby and suffocated during the night. And then she took my baby and swapped him out. And I know that's my baby that she's got, and she left me with the dead child. What are you going to do? Well, the king couldn't seem to find a way to sort it out, so what's he do? You remember the story from Sunday school? He gets a sword. And he says, okay, how about this? Y'all hold the baby up. I'm going to cut it right down the middle. Two pieces. You can have one piece, and you can have one piece. And the mama whose baby had already died, who probably thought to herself, well, it'd be only fair if her baby died too, said, that's fine. I'll stand right over here and wait for my half. But what does the other mama do? The mama whose baby is living, she said, no, 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 no. Don't harm that baby. Just let her have it. Solomon said, aha. There's no protection like a mama's protection. That's your baby. That's your baby. God, you see, uses that image of a mama who protects fiercely her babies. And he says, I want you to understand that's the kind of God I am for you. That's the way I feel about you. Psalm 91 is a beautiful psalm that illustrates very well this protection that comes from God. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I will trust in Him. He will rescue you from every trap. He will protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers and shelter you with His wings. By the way, it's mama birds that do that. Just a side note. He will be faithful, or His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Don't be afraid of the terrors at night or the arrow that flies in the day. Don't dread disease that stalks in darkness or disaster that comes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 are dying around you, those evils won't touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Because if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. Farther down in that psalm, verse 14, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me, and I will protect those who trust in my name. Yeah, there's no protection like a mama's protection. And God says, I want you to understand, that's how I protect you, my people. But secondly, this morning, not only is there no protection like mama's, and we see it in God, there is no touch like mama's. We see that in God too. You remember, don't you? You probably don't have to think back too hard to a time when you were a little kid and you were running and you fell down and you scraped your knee. Maybe it was your elbow. Who did you run to? Chances are, I know there's exceptions, but chances are you ran to your mama. And she picked you up and she treated you as if you had a life-threatening injury. If you went to your daddy, I am one of these daddies, he would have said, oh, suck it up. What's wrong? Ain't nothing wrong with you. Quit that crying. Go on and play. Mamas don't do well. Now, some mamas might do that. But as a general rule, what's mama going to do? Mama's going to pick that baby up. She's going to brush those tears away. She's going to kiss it and make it better, because there's just no touch like mama's touch. And it doesn't much matter how old we are, there's just something about mama's kissing the hurt away. I don't know how it is in your house, but if one of the kids is up in the night throwing their guts up, who's up with them? I sleep. I mean, I don't... Dana just does such a good job. Truth be told, I sleep so soundly. Sometimes she's up and down two or three times in the night with the kids, and in the morning, I don't even know she's been out of the bed. Or that's what I'm going to say anyway. But you know when they come to the bedroom? If they come in our bedroom, do you know which side of the bed they go to? Oh, they can wake me up, but they don't even come to my side of the bed. Why? Because when you're sick, when you don't feel good, when something's wrong, there is no touch like mama's touch. And you see that. You see that in God. You may not always see it, because sometimes we get this image of God, but you look at God the Son, who came to the earth, who was willing to touch people that nobody else wanted to touch. He was willing to touch the lepers. He was willing to touch the outcast. He was willing to touch those who were unclean. And His touch changed their life. If you think back to the book of Genesis, we have this very bizarre occasion where Jacob wrestles with an angel of God all night long until God cheats. Now, we don't like to say it that way. But this wrestling match that you read about in Genesis chapter 32 ends when God touches his hip and puts it out of socket. That's not fair. Can I suggest to you, Scripture says he never walked the same again. And the loving, tender touch of Almighty God, when he touches you, you will never walk the same again. Because he touches you with a mama's love. He kisses away the hurt. He brushes away your tears. Yes, there is no love like a mama's love, and you see it in God. And there's no protection like a mama's protection, and you see it in God. Lastly this morning, there is no forgiveness like mama's forgiveness. Some of you experience this in your life. You've seen a child who really messes up, maybe who does things to spite the parents. And sometimes dads can be real standoffish, real hard. Sometimes dads are the ones who say, you know what, you crossed that line when you stepped out of my house and you're done. I'm done with you. I don't know if I've hardly ever heard a mama say that. Mamas will be the one oftentimes who the kids will go to, grown kids or little kids, when something bad has happened and the child has had a change of heart and they're coming around, chances are they're going to go see their mama first. And their mama's going to hold them up close. And she's going to offer them complete, total forgiveness. Mamas, you are willing to believe about your children that their intentions are the best and that they're really going to change. Even if all the evidence says otherwise, there's something about mamas being willing to forgive. But I want to suggest to you that God shows us that kind of forgiveness in Himself through a dad in Luke chapter 15. You know the story. We call it the prodigal son. I don't know, but what maybe we ought not call it the prodigal God, because the one who breaks the rules in that story is the father. Oh, the son's a jerk. He's an arrogant kid who's got way too big for his britches, and he takes the money. His dad gave it to him. You ever notice that in the story? Dad could have just said no, but he gave him the money. But he never stopped watching. And when he saw his son coming home, Scripture says he grabbed his long robe that he wore and he hitched it up so he could run. Okay, in that culture, men did not run. Not dignified men, not men who were important. They certainly didn't pull up their robes and run. He said, I don't care. This is my son. You also notice when he gets to his son, what does he do? He grabs him and he hugs him and he cries over him, breaking lots of rules while he's doing these things. You ever think about the fact that he didn't make his son get a bath? And nothing in that text, when Jesus is telling that story, nothing says when he left the hog pen he ever cleaned himself up. He was in the middle of the hog pen wanting to eat the slop, and he says, I got to go home. It's better for daddy's slaves than it is for me. I got to go home and just be a slave in my daddy's house. He must have smelled something awful. But his father wraps his arms around him and loves him and throws a party to welcome him home. Yes, there's no forgiveness like mama's forgiveness, except we see it in our heavenly Father. And when he speaks about forgiveness through Jeremiah, the prophet, in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, he specifically says, their sins I will remember no more. You ever have trouble with forgetfulness? Sometimes you do, right? You forget where you are. You forget who you are. You forget where you put something down. You walk into one room and you forget why you left the other room. But there's some things that are harder to forget, aren't they? You ever notice that you cannot make yourself forget something? Sometimes we deal with a lot of guilt and a lot of shame and a lot of burdens from our past because we cannot forget. Even if we believe and trust in the forgiveness of God, we can't forget what happened. We can't forget what we did. We can't forget who hurt us. And we sometimes really struggle because of what we cannot make ourselves forget. God says, I, as God, have the ability that when I forgive you, I never remember it anymore. A few weeks ago, I had lunch with the distinguished Carl McKelvey. And Dr. McKelvey and I were talking over the lunch table about sin and our past and our guilt. And he says, you know, Tim, sometimes I'm an old man and I still struggle with stuff that I think I'm too old. I ought not be struggling with that anymore. And he said, I go to God in prayer over that, and I say, well, God, it's me, Carl. I'm coming again because I've done the same old thing again. And he said, if I really believe what Scripture says, God looks back at me and he says, well, Carl, I don't believe we've ever talked about this before. Because he says, God forgets. He uses this beautiful image, and I've tried to wrap my mind around this from the 103rd Psalm, of taking our sin and putting it as far away from us as the east is from the west. Now you stop for a minute and try to figure out how far it is from east to west. Get you a globe out. If you still have a globe, maybe some of you have one at home or you see one at school, just start any given point, maybe start in Tennessee on that globe and go east. And see how far you can go until you reach west. Well, you can't, can you? You can travel in the direction of the west, and as far as you can go, there's still farther west, and you're not in the east. As far as the east is from the west, God says, that's how far I remove your sin from you. Casting Crowns did a fantastic job of putting that into a song and kind of giving us some image to go along with that. And they even said that the distance might be accurately measured in the distance between one scarred hand and the other. There is no forgiveness like a mama's forgiveness except that of God, who forgives even more. Church, this morning I want you to think about the fact that God says, I want to comfort you. And to those of you this morning who are struggling in your life, you're hiding it or you're not, but you're struggling right now. I want you to know that there is a God who will fiercely protect you from what Satan's trying to do to you, who will fiercely protect you and guard your heart. I want you to understand this morning that there is a God who desperately wants to scoop you into His arms and heal the hurt that you're feeling. And I want you to know that there's a God who says, I don't see the mess you've made. I just see you, my child. Because there's a God who protects, and there's a God who touches with a healing touch, and there's a God who forgives without ever looking back. And yes, sometimes we see those things and understand them because of our mamas. And God says, that's me. All that good that you've known in your mama, all those wonderful things, that was me. And I want you to know that's where I am for you today. Some of you this morning are probably struggling because things are not great with your mom. You may even dread coming to church on Mother's Day because those sermons are hard for you. Maybe some of you are struggling because you don't feel like you're a great mom, and sometimes we don't mean to do this, but we preach about the Proverbs 31 woman, and we hold her up and we say, this is what you're supposed to be like, and nobody measures up to that. She's not real. She's not real. She's an illustration of the perfect ideal. If you could be perfect, this would be it. But she's not real. But you are. And maybe you're struggling this morning because you just think as a mama, you've really blown it. Maybe you're a mama with little ones. Maybe you're a mama with grandkids and great-grandkids, and you think you've blown it too. Can I tell you this morning, there is a God with a mama's love who's waiting on you. And if some way any of you here this morning need to meet Him, need to be with Him, need to come close to Him, and we can assist you, then I invite you to come as we stand and sing together.